Good morning. It's Thursday, the 25th of April, and this is Govindraj Ethiraj broadcasting and streaming in transit, but otherwise headquartered in Mumbai, India's financial capital. Our top stories and themes for the day. Small caps in the stock markets race ahead again as broad markets crawl. Hindustan Unilever results disappoint. IT services companies are now staring at another slow and worrying year ahead. Kotak credit cards pays the price for growing too fast without the systems in place. The Reserve Bank of India cracks down. Reliance Industries is a giant company, but where do its revenues and profits really come from?
This is a Core Report with Govindraj Ethiraj.
Small caps race ahead again. For all the regulators' remonstrations about small cap stocks, they're racing away, as we've been pointing out here, like never before. Now, this reflects a degree of underlying confidence, fund flows, and perhaps sheer desperation to put savings to work that we've not seen before, at least at this scale. In keeping with this trend, the benchmark indices were largely range-bound, with some selling in information technology stocks, and more of that in a bit on Wednesday. The BSE Sensex was up 300 points during the day to cross the 74,000 mark, but slipped back to close at 73,853. That's up around 114 points. The Nifty 50 was up 34 points to close at 22,402. Now, the BSE mid-cap and small-cap indices, however, outperformed the benchmarks by settling about 0.9 and 0.79, or that's 0.8% higher. The small cap index even hit a fresh record high during the day, something that we pointed to yesterday and projected that it might be happening very soon. Metal stocks in general were the stars in trade on Wednesday, rising about 2.7% to a record high, tracking an upswing in global demand, according to Reuters. Now, there is not much news either way. Results season so far has been viewed as mixed, including weaker results from the IT services company. Hindustan Unilever results came after trading closed on Wednesday, and the disappointing results, which I'll come to shortly, will surely have some play during trading on Thursday, but how that will play out is obviously something that we'll have to see. Now, there is strong manufacturing activity, as we pointed out yesterday, with the Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, hitting a 14-year high, which obviously injects some optimism, presumably, but it's not directionally really useful. The rupee was stronger on Wednesday, and it gained on Wednesday, aided by a recovery in risk appetite that helped lift Asian currencies, while the dollar-rupee forward premiums also were higher, according to Reuters. The rupee rose to a two-week high of 83.27 rupees against the US dollar on Wednesday morning. Now, to come to Unilever, another sign of demand compression and stiff competition, particularly from regional brands, Hindustan Unilever reported a bigger-than-expected fall in fourth-quarter profits on Wednesday. Now, consumer companies have seen muted volume growth over the last 12 months, thanks also to sluggish rural demand and persistently high inflation, according to Reuters. HUL said its profit fell to about 2,406 crore rupees in the 3 months ended March 31st, from about 2,550 crore rupees a year earlier. Analysts on an average had expected a profit of about 2,444 crore rupees, according to data from LSEG. Now, all these numbers might appear not very significant, but again, like in IT, it's the trend line that matters. The trend is now reversing, and obviously profits have turned, as opposed to, let's say, previous years. HUL stock price also has fallen about 15% in the last quarter. Most analysts I talked to, for example, have said that they've got out of stocks like HUL, or for that matter, even the IT services companies, more than a year ago, if not longer. Sales for HUL were slow as well, rising marginally, with segments like beauty and personal care declining 2.7% amidst price cuts. The company also said that prices of products could fall further. The good news is that rains this year are expected to be good, which in turn could shore up sentiments and demand, or demand and sentiments, depending on which way you look at it, all around. Oil prices rise because of US crude. Oil prices rose on Wednesday to reach around $88 a barrel after industry data showed a surprise drop in US crude stocks last week, according to Bloomberg. A drop in US crude stocks is seen as positive for demand. U.S. crude inventories fell about 3.2 million barrels in the week ended April 19th, according to sources citing American Petroleum Institute figures. In contrast, analysts polled by Reuters had expected a rise of 800,000 barrels. IT companies are looking at a second year of muted revenue growth. IT services companies are now looking at another successive year of muted revenue growth, a new report from rating agency CRISIL has said. The report is based on a study of the top 24 firms, which account for a little more than half of the 14 lakh crore rupees of sectoral revenue as of last year. Importantly, hiring will be cautious and attrition will be low, the report says. Now, headcount is already down for the industry as per CRISIL as of December 2023, and I guess it stands to reason that companies will reduce headcount further since that is the biggest cost. Not surprisingly, attrition levels have fallen sharply after COVID, when it was a wild west when it came to job switching. And many people switched multiple jobs in a year, and many others held multiple jobs. Anyway, so attrition is now down to about 13% compared to 20% the year before. So CRISIL says that revenues will rise by 5 to 7% in fiscal 2025, that's 24-25, as continuing global macroeconomic headwinds lead to modest increases in technology spends in the key markets of the United States and Europe. Indian IT services companies, just to remind you, depend almost entirely on these markets, that's United States and Europe, for their growth and nourishment. Now, compare this. When I say compare this, I mean the 5 to 7% with a roughly 12% compounded annual growth over the last decade into 23-24. And you know why and how the IT services sector was doing so well, and so were their stocks. CRISIL said that operating margins, however, could sustain at around 22 to 23% due to prudent management of employee costs, which constitute about 85% of total expenses and include subcontracting costs. So subcontracting is when a company would hire from another company so as to not keep those people on its rolls. Incidentally, four sectors account for about 65% of the revenue of Indian IT services. That's banking, financial services and insurance. That's BFSI, which is 30%. Retail, 15%, technology, 10%, and communications and media, 10%. So obviously, technology spend in all these sectors slowed down thanks to the high interest rate environment and an economic slowdown in some markets. Reuters says manufacturing and healthcare segments were the only bright spots, with continued double-digit growth in tech spends, given the focus on process automation and research and development-based analytics, particularly in healthcare. But the outlook is weak. CRISIL ratings officials said that the slowdown in tech spend will continue this fiscal, weighing on the revenue growth of IT service providers. Like we've said on the core report before, this has a cascading effect of sorts, because if lesser people are hired or paid less by the Indian IT sector, that has an impact on demand too at the consumer level. The Reserve Bank of India cracks down on Kotak cards. Kotak Bank has paid the price for growing too fast without having the necessary information technology systems, among other systems, to support its growth. Before I describe what happened through the eyes of the Reserve Bank of India, obviously, the core report has always argued, or at least consistently argued, that the Reserve Bank of India has been consistent on two things. One is that it does not flinch if the perpetrator is a large entity with clout of whichever kind. And second, there is sufficient time between its first directives to erring banks or financial institutions and its final public action. The second, in some ways, is responsible for the first. So the Reserve Bank of India has asked private sector bank Kotak Mahindra to not issue credit cards and barred new customer onboarding through the bank's online and mobile banking channels. The Reserve Bank said that for two consecutive years, the bank was assessed to be deficient in its IT risk and information security governance, contrary to requirements under regulatory guidelines. The bank was found to be significantly non-compliant with the corrective action plans issued by the Reserve Bank for the years 22-23, and the compliances submitted by the bank were found to be either inadequate, incorrect, or not sustained. Moreover, the Reserve Bank said there were frequent outages in the bank's core banking system and online channels in the last 2 years, which inconvenienced customers. The Reserve Bank said the bank can obviously continue to provide services to existing customers, including its credit card customers. More specifically, the Reserve Bank said serious deficiencies and non-compliances were observed in the areas of IT inventory management, patch and change management, user access management, vendor risk management, data security and data leak prevention strategy, business continuity and disaster recovery rigor and drill, among other things. Now, this obviously gives you a sense of the comprehensiveness of approach. And this is something that you should pay attention to, particularly if you're in a larger company with a strong or large internet interface. The regulator also said that in the absence of a robust IT infrastructure and IT risk management framework, the bank's core banking system, or CBS, and its online and digital banking channels have suffered frequent and significant outages in the last 2 years, the recent one being a service disruption on April 15th, resulting in serious customer inconveniences. So the larger takeaway for me at this point is that this seems to be largely a technology deficiency problem rather than a people or some other deficiency problem. But of course, a technology deficiency problem gets amplified in a situation where you're dealing with your customers through technology and with technology, including through internet platforms. So if your technology is weak or there is a problem found in it, then obviously you're in serious trouble nowadays. Elsewhere, and perhaps this tells you why banks like Kotak are in trouble for their credit card businesses, credit card spends increased 27% year on year to about 18 trillion rupees in the financial year 23-24 from about 14 trillion in the year ago period, according to data released by the Reserve Bank. In March, for example, credit card spends rose by nearly 10% to about 1.64 trillion rupees from about 1.5 trillion rupees in February. Now, the reason for this increase could obviously be the festival season and so on, and the growth is likely to continue, but a general rise or a too fast rise in credit card spends is obviously something to be watched very carefully, if not worried about. Reliance, where are the profits coming from? Reliance Industries saw net profits fall nearly 2% in the March quarter on the back of lower margins in petrochemicals and higher tax outgoes, even as its retail and telecom businesses reported steady growth. Now, Reliance is also India's most valuable company, and it reported a consolidated profit of about 18,900 crores, which was short of the 19,700 crores estimated by 8 analysts in a Bloomberg poll. Now, Reliance's results came out day before yesterday. Reliance's consolidated revenue for the year crossed about 10 trillion rupees, becoming the first Indian company to cross that mark. Investment bank JP Morgan said in a note that fourth quarter earnings before interest and tax for the O2C business, or the oil to chemicals that includes refining and petrochemicals, improved 19% on Q, that's quarter on quarter, and was 12% ahead of JP Morgan estimates. On the other hand, retail top line was noticeably weaker, said JP Morgan, and so was refining margins thanks to higher oil prices. Interestingly, one big spike came from the company's stepped up gas production from its KGD6 basin in eastern India. Chairman Mukesh Ambani said that the KGD6 block had achieved 30 MMSCMD of production and now counts for about 30% of India's domestic gas production. MMSCMD stands for million metric standard cubic meters per day. So, Reliance earns from its traditional oil and gas businesses, chemicals and retail, and telecom, which are the new areas. So, what do Reliance's revenues and profits tell us? And more importantly, where do they come from? And how does one look at Reliance as a company if you were to invest in it? I mean, what kind of a company is it? I reached out to Sushil Choksi, Managing Director of Indus Equity Advisors, and I began by asking him, in the context of these results and in the context of where the revenues and profits were coming from, how he was looking ahead going forward.
So, Govan, thanks for having me on the show. Reliance is all about India consumer play. So if you look at Reliance's old business, which is petrochemical manufacturing, plastics of variety, polyester, again consumer goods, petrochemicals, again consumer goods for manufacturing various plastic, which goes from washing machine to TV to various things, fabric intermediates. Similar way, if you look at that is the commodity side of the business, as you call it, dependent on oil and petrochemical. The new business are comprising of retail, which is purely competing with Flipkart or Walmart, as you say it, or any other competitor like DMart. And the third business is telecom, which competes with Bharti. So it's a consumer play of India, and it comprises of three businesses, centric-wise, where shareholders are concerned today, who are estimating Reliance will trade as three different companies.
Right. And of these, is everything going to plan? I mean, I take the logic that they were traditional businesses, which are oil to chemicals, petrochemicals, very traditional economy. And they were investing in new economy businesses, or they started investing in them because that's of the future in some ways. It appears to me also that today the traditional businesses are still the ones which are spewing cash. And they still appear pretty robust, maybe because of the way the world is going, as in there's a shortage of oil. There are other factors that are playing, which may not have thought of.
Govind, the beauty of Reliance is they've got the best technology where petrochemical or Reliance refineries are concerned. They produce almost 2% of world oil they process in Jamnagar. And predominantly, they source crude from 118 to 20 sources, whether it be Russia, Venezuela, or Middle East cracks. And they're able to refine at a superior margin compared to most of the other assets which are available in India. And their majority is towards export. And because of Russia and Ukraine problem, the diesel shortage in the world is high. So diesel exports from India has grown very well in the last 2 years. And that's a benefit where Reliance and other few refineries are concerned. Where cash flow is concerned today, 55% of profit comes from the old businesses, which comprise of oil to chemical and oil to gas. And 45% comes from consumer business. Whereas if you look at the balance sheet, in last 2-3 years or 5 years, the entire expansion connected with Jio, 5G or retail business, where the money is being deployed and the money is, the cash cow is the old business, cash consumption is all in new business. So it's a matter of time that PE on consumer is high, on the industrial is low. So if you break up the stock, you will find that approximately 1,250 rupees a share or 1,300 would come to old business. The balance would be valued between retail and Jio. So today, the estimate of 3,200 to 3,500 or 3,000, depending on which brokerage house you go, it will be 40% here and the 60% to the new business.
Well, we all know that it's a conglomerate. What would one be buying into? I mean, is it an energy company and therefore can I compare today? Or would I compare it with, let's say, refining and energy companies in India who are also trading at high price-to-earning ratios? Or would I compare it with some of these other businesses that you mentioned?
I personally would not look at comparing with a company to company because ultimately the underlying shareholders are already aware that Reliance intention after Jio Financial is very clear that retail and telecom would be listed separately and Reliance would have 4 listed entities. One is a standalone business, the second would be Jio, third is retail, and Jio Financial is already listed. So it will be 4 businesses with prospective demerger or some kind of listing structure which the AGM throws up or Dhirubhai's birth centenary years throws up or which date, we don't know. But it's a likely emerging business, whether it takes 6 months or 6 years, one doesn't know. But my personal estimate, people have waited for 2-3 years and looks like in next 24 months, both should be listed.
Right. And if you were to now look at the businesses going ahead, which is, let's say, retail or telecom, do you feel that those at this point of time are giving you sufficient, let's say, promise as compared to their peers?
See, the bandwidth required for 5G or retail business is amount of capital you can invest for expansion. Reliance balance sheet enables to borrow at a cheaper rate. At the same time, create assets which are world-class. So if you've been to any of these big malls, Reliance formats, Jio Financial Centers or Jio Convention Center or Jio Mall Drive in Bombay, you'll realize that they're trying to create assets where the consumer experience is good and they have all the formats and predominantly all the stores where they are the representative of global companies or a partner, distributor, whatever. So the experience of a similar nature like any of the Western or big countries in the East, if that experience is going to draw footfalls, that will attract and that would create value because right now you're on a growth path where you're creating assets, future profit. Today you may work at 7.5-8% margin on EBITDA levels, but these margins can scale up by 1-2% more as you expand. And as the luxury part of the entire business grows, it will have a higher profit possibly once it stabilizes. Today, groceries, maybe a little bit of electronics. Electronics is getting bigger for them. But there is a competition there and there would always be competition. So how you play along with Apple or Samsung or a few others, that all has to be seen over a period of time.
You know, before Reliance became an energy company or a telecom company or retail company, it was a petrochemical company. And before that, it was a textile company. If I look at their current capex, it's spending $10 billion, or that's more than 80,000 crores, on petrochemical capacities and another $10 billion on new renewable and solar capacities. So this is an interesting balance. How do you see this? I mean, $10 billion going into something very old and $10 billion going into something obviously quite new.
See, the intent is to create green hydrogen and to manufacture green hydrogen, you need solar. And if you want to make solar, China dominates 97% of the world capacity, manufacturing polyester to polysilicon to up to module. Reliance is trying to put up a polysilicon plant in India and manufacture ingots to wafer to cell and then module. So once the entire value chain is caught, and then you move to hydrogen, and he wants $1 price for hydrogen, which is little far off from where the vision is, but it's already visible that it may be at $2-$2.25 now. Once the technology prevails, they should. So the new, and second thing, you want to be carbon neutral where energy side and this business is concerned. So if you want to create that kind of an environment, you need to initiate a business which makes that possible. So one side is your consumption of energy, other side you are doing something which neutralizes the place. You have the beauty, and as the world is changing, you will have to create businesses which make the enablers for betterment.
So when you invest in Reliance today, and I know that you are an active investor and proponent of this stock, how do you view it first? Is it a conglomerate that's waiting to be broken up and therefore all the value that will flow from those individual pieces, or the conglomerate itself? Or let's say, though you said no to that already, the energy or the retail or the telecom pieces of it?
So I'm investing today as a conglomerate, which enables better businesses and future businesses. Today, it is comprising of old businesses, comprising of oil to petrochemical refining and oil to gas. The cash flow is supporting retail and Jio. So within 12 to 24 months is my estimate. You will have three verticals separately listed, and that would clear a play. And the market will have a reward in terms of I want to invest in only consumer play, or I would own all three, or I would own only one, like telecom. So the choice would emerge over a time, but today you want everything together, it is done. And second thing, as India is growing and the market cap or the GDP vision, which the government is throwing up 5 trillion, 10 trillion, and the kind of rewards which the investors would get, you need a large proxy to the market. So the large groups benefit when the FIs also come back to India. So it's a smart play if you're looking at a futuristic trend, and it's more like a deposit making stock with a 3 or 5 year vision.
Right. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Govind.
That was The Core Report with me, Govind Raj Ethiraj. Do stay connected with more of our coverage at The Core. You can check out our website or sign up to our newsletter for our exclusive stories, one in-depth feature a day on www.thecore.in. Do also track us on LinkedIn, where we usually post synopses or extracts of our top stories and interviews. We would love your feedback on how we can make business more interesting and relevant, including, of course, India's vibrant manufacturing sector. So write to us at feedback@thecore.in. And thank you once again for listening.